I'll repeat myself just so it's on the recording. Thanks. This is David Corus, co-chair of the committee. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 10 a.m. I'm going to start with the first item on the agenda, which is called to order. Members of the committee in no particular order. David Corus is present. Paul Hinch.
Here.
John Flores.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Parker Wise.
Here.
Okay, and Tom Patton, I know, is not present. Any other board members not on the committee present?
Yeah, this is Dave Perillo.
Okay, noted for the minutes that board member Perillo is present as well. Next item on the agenda is approval of the July 19th minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion, David, with one correction.
Okay. I'll come back to the correction in 1 second. Is there a second?
Flores, second.
Second by Flores. Okay, John, what's the requested correction?
Yeah, under 8. Motion to adjourn made by John Johnson, seconded by John Johnson. I didn't second it. I motion it.
Yes. Okay, we will make that change.
I think it was probably, most likely, I think it was me, the other John.
Yeah, makes sense. Motions for adjournment don't technically need a second, so we'll be okay either way, but we'll look back at the recording and update it. Thank you. Other requested edits, changes, or questions or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next item on the agenda is public comment. If we can open up the public line. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak at this time? I'm not sure if folks are on mute or not, but just a reminder that you may have to press star 6. Any public comment at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, the financial.
Kevin Blacker is trying to make comment.
Okay.
Can you hear him? Okay. Can you hear him? Go ahead, Kevin. Mr. Blacker.
Thank you. So, in regards to the financial update, agenda item number 4, I hope that the board or the chair will discuss, or the members will discuss, whether there's a backup plan, for the budget in the event that the State Pier project is delayed. I know that there has been discussion about how tight you guys are going to be running, and how you're really counting on the money from the project. And if, in my observation, if the project is delayed and that money is at all delayed or reduced, you guys are going to have a problem with your budget. So whether there has been any discussion looking forward, just as far as prudent judgment of how you would fill those gaps or fix those holes, or whether you guys are just taking a wait and see, hope for the best approach. In regards to new business, or maybe it would be old business, hoping there'd be an update on the status of the European trip, whether those $4,000 to $5,000 per person estimates have been verified, updated, whether they've increased, decreased, whether you guys are still planning that trip. Also under new business, there was discussion in the press about the Don Frost being reported as the board member that took the illegal gifts, and that Port Authority would be reviewing the votes and actions taken by Don Frost. So as he had been a member of the Finance Committee, whether that action has been taken, whether you guys have reviewed the votes or any action that he took as a member of the committee, as well as a member of the board. Then the last thing, whether this would be under financial update or new business, there has been an ongoing discussion about the legal bills, the legal expenses, which are quite high, and we're regularly told that a lot of that legal expense is matters beyond the control of the Port Authority, whether they be an ongoing investigation or responding to FOIAs. And I'd hope that, you know, I think the public deserves to know what specifically those ongoing investigations are, whether it's just the Attorney General's investigation at this point, whether there's ongoing ethics investigation, whether there's any response to the federal investigation. Given the amount of money that is being spent on the legal bills, I think the public deserves more detail and clarity about where all that money is being spent. So that's all I have to say at this time.
Great, thank you very much. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Any other public comment? Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda, financial update. Ulysses and Veronica, I'm going to hand it over to you to walk us through the finances.
Okay. Well, I'd like to just kick this one off by perhaps preempting my report to the board, to this finance committee, by saying that really thanks to the leadership of the financial director, Veronica Calvert, major improvements have been made in our financial management and accounting systems. The finance office staff, which consists really of only one and a half employees, continues really to work with the Office of Policy and Management on the requirements for entering purchase orders, vouchers, and processing payments through the state core financial system. They update the project budget report monthly to record transfers among projects, new contracts, new purchase orders, and disbursements made through the core state treasurer's, made through core by the state treasurer's office. The monthly project budget report is provided to the CPA Finance Committee and Board. OPM has also been working with staff on using Core Stars program that provides program analysis for payroll and SHIP projects. We now have 9 new SHIP projects that were added recently to the CPA's accounting system of QuickBooks to mirror the information contained in Core. That staff, when it comes to bank reconciliations, those bank reconciliations are up to date through June 22nd for Essex and Webster bank accounts. We have 29 individual bank accounts that are reconciled on a monthly basis. They continue to meet also weekly with OPM on the state bond allocation Excel file developed by OPM to account for all deposits and withdrawals for prior years and created an up-to-date inventory list of CPA fixed assets, which will help to determine the CPA's depreciation expense each year going forward. This exercise resulted in the development of a useful life table for items over $5,000 which need to be depreciated. All of this activity is being conducted while simultaneously responding to a mountain of requests for documents and reports for not just one audit, but 2 audits. Yes, the state auditors of public accounts are conducting the biennial audit for fiscal years 2020 and 2021. Additionally, Cohn Resnick is conducting CPA's fiscal year 22 audit, which is anticipated to be completed by the end of October. The auditors have been very understanding, especially given the fact that we only have 1.5 members of this staff, and they have been also very great to work with. I'd like to also parenthetically, though, add that we are going to be disposing of the company car. Given the fact that now that we have a hybrid situation with respect to the workplace, especially after the pandemic, there's limited use of that car, and now determined too that it's time to dispose of it. So we're working right now with Department of DAS to actually put this part, the car, up for auction. Those proceeds will be coming back to the CPA minus any fees that are associated with the processing of this particular matter. So I'm going to turn this over now to our very capable Director of Finance, Veronica Calvert.
Thanks, Ulysses. Hello, everyone. I prepared the fiscal year 2023 financial report for you all. I've included a column that shows the actuals for fiscal year 2022, but it's still in a draft form. I am still processing invoices from various vendors, so there's still adjustments that need to be made. The auditor, Cohen Resnick, has asked me for a final or completed trial balance by August 31st, which I have no doubts that we will be getting a final trial balance to them prior to August 31st. So as far as the actuals are concerned, next month when we meet, I will be able to give you a report on items that need to be reprogrammed to cover any deficits by budget line item for the end of fiscal year 2022. I've also included the approved fiscal year 23 budget, and alongside that, the actuals for the month of July. As you can see, there's not too much going on that first week in July for fiscal year 2023. Most of our work is concentrating on closing out fiscal year 2022. There are really no special items that I wanted to point out to you. You know, we are now trying to separate in the legal services area internal matters versus external matters, versus legal services that support permitting, bond projects, things that are accounted for in core. There is really everything else is normal operations that I feel that we've covered last month. But if there's something in particular that you want to cover now, please do.
Can I ask a question, Veronica, about the pilotage? We got in 10% of our revenue was from the pilots at $22,000. Are we underestimating the amount we're going to get in, or is this an extraordinary amount?
Well, for the pilot commission, that let's see. I'm estimating that the budget that we'll get in for just the pilot commission, and that is the quarterly fees and any license renewals, et cetera, the $66,200. Now, for the pilot safety and training interport, and that's line account 40011, that's kind of hard for me to say at this point. I am expecting more revenue.
Victoria,
go ahead.
I was only questioning 40010. We got $22,000 against a budget of 66, and that was just obviously 1 month. And I'm just wondering whether or not that's we're going to continue at that rate or not.
Well, it did come in quarterly last year, and so
that would make us maybe be up around $88,000 or $90,000, right?
That's a good point. I will look into that. The budget estimate for the pilot commission. The budget was in 22 it was 66,200. Same thing in 23. But let me look at the actuals and how that reads.
It's not a huge matter, but it's interesting.
But you're right. If it's quarterly and if it comes in at 22, and we get that each quarter, we may get 88. But Let me check with Captain Murray on that.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Other comments or questions?
Yeah, this is John Flores. I'm assuming once we get rid of, and I congratulate the administration in making the decision to get rid of the car. I'm assuming that we will then get the benefit of not having the insurance costs going forward with respect to the vehicle, which under the budget was $3,600. We're not going to recoup all of that, I guess, because there's been some coverage on it, but some of that we should be getting to the plus column then, right?
You're absolutely right. And that was one of the decisions, one of the reasons why we made that decision. It's also the preventive maintenance, also the additional cost of just actually running the car. Those all, along with the insurance, all of those factors were taken into consideration with respect to this decision. So, no, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. The other thing, Ulysses, is I don't know if we're restricted in how we can get rid of the car that we have to go through state auction, but I'm just curious if, you know, I've been hearing that used cars are at a premium throughout the country, and I see all these advertisements, you know, like from Carvana, you know, give us a description of your car and we'll give you a price quote. Maybe as a good check, that's something we should do just to see, because I don't know how the auction goes, is if it's, you know, you once you place it there, you got to take the best price you get, or can you reject it? I'm just thinking maybe that's some, it's not going to be a lot of money, but, you know, $1,000 here, $1,000 there adds up after a while.
This is Paul Hinch. I will say that the online auctions for the state surplus properties, the vehicles, they are greatly increased in line with the used car market right now. And I believe that's the only option that the Port Authority has is to go through
well,
the
and
state
you're, that is correct. We're going through the Department of Administrative Services DAS Surplus Property Program. They are the legally authorized agent in the state for the disposition of all usable surplus property. So we're going through that process right now.
And I will say they use what's called propertyroom.com is the auctioneer.
Oh, I see. Okay, great.
Okay, well, thank you for that answer.
And I have one more question. Comments? Yeah, I have one more question, David, if I could ask. On the fringe benefits line on the 5,300, is that a cash expenditure or is that an accrued liability? The 14,496.
That is a cash expenditure that's posted each month.
Okay. So that would be for. That's for pension and health insurance and that kind of stuff, huh?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes, that's the employer's cost.
Yep, I got it. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? I'll just add, in response to the public question about budgeted revenue, you know, we anticipate in this budget, as we discussed at great length, 2 quarters of rent payment on State Pier for a total of $1 million. And yes, as we've discussed, this is a tighter budget than we will have in the future. One of those rent payments doesn't end up materializing this fiscal year, you will note that we have, you know, approximately $400,000 in surplus from last year. We have a budgeted surplus this year of $100,000. We have surpluses from prior years, so we're confident that we can cover that with prior surplus. And we continue to move the project forward under the, you know, as best as we can to get those rent payments this fiscal year. Other comments or questions? Okay, does anyone have any old business? Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to mention... Yes, I was going to mention that I've included an updated bond/ship report. As Ulysses has mentioned, there are 7 or 8 now projects that are in CORE that are now mirrored in QuickBooks. And as we progress through and process purchase orders against those ship projects or infrastructure projects, you'll see the information in CORE updated each month.
And I got a question on that I still don't understand, David. The legacy DOT, the first 3 items at the top of the page, that's about $523,000. What's happened to that money? Is it going back? Does it come ultimately to us, or does it go back to the general fund?
Yeah, the short answer is we're still trying to figure this out, right? This is part of the process.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes, I was going to say we've already had a situation we're in. We've had to make sure that those funds actually go back to the state.
Okay, we're going to lose them, is that what you're saying?
That is right. We lose the legacy.
Okay. All right. So that puts that to bed. How about on the ship 1 and ship 2, the purchase order balance of $2.6 million? Is that going to have any – we haven't spent those funds either, I guess, right?
No, we have not.
Okay. And what is the impact – on our ask for the $5.9 million that we're going to do for round 3, if we haven't spent the $2.6 million in round 2, is there going to be any impact or not?
John, this is Joe Salvatore.
Hi, Joe.
That should not be impacted. That was a prior bond issue. Some of the municipalities are still working through their permitting and their projects. Ship Round 3 is a new bond request with a new set of projects. So we're managing Round 2 as well as implementing Round 3.
I gotcha. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Other questions or comments on the capital report?
Each month I'd like to include the construction in progress that I have recorded in QuickBooks, but also AECOM has provided a project status report. And I believe that is in your handouts for today. And the last item I have is the 2022 legal expenses broken out between internal, external, and project/permit.
questions or comments?
Do we want to address any of the issues from the public about the legal issues or the legal expenses?
Yeah, I mean, this report is consistent with last month's. We discussed it last month. As you see here, yep. Approximately half of our general fund legal expenses are currently coded to what we would call external matters. I think there's still some refining to do there. I think there still might be some things embedded in general invoices that might fall more towards external drivers. It's about 100,000 related to external drivers. And as we've discussed before, this is responding to FOIA requests. This is responding to the Office of State Ethics. This is responding to the State Contracting Standards Board. This is responding to the Attorney General's Office, and this is responding to Department of Justice. And we have to respond, obviously, and we take pride in doing so quickly and thoroughly. And there's a cost associated with that that is, I would characterize as largely out of our control.
It was on a rough calculation, 35% of the legal expenses are for our daily operations. 35.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. It's about a third daily operations, external drivers, and project/permitting.
I might add to that, John, that I met with the managing director of Robinson & Cole to for us to discuss ways in which on their end and our end that we can work more collaboratively and how we might also implement some procedures to the extent that we can control what we can control on the operational side in particular, that we would also work collaboratively on how we can now start to really zero in on any way in which we can actually reduce those costs. I mean, I have implemented a couple of procedures here internally as well. All requests now for any service by Robson and Cole has to be approved by me first.
That's wonderful.
We're tightening up too also internally, and they also know that, but we're also going to be saying to them exactly how much time we expect sometimes a call to take or a consultation to take, and so they are in agreement with this as well. So we're going to be working more collaboratively on reducing these costs. This is the kind of thing that I used to do also at the college as well. I was responsible for legal affairs there. And so there are some measures we can take and are taking to start to limit as much as we can the cost of services.
I think, Ulysses, just having that discussion with our RC is makes them well aware that we are very conscious of what their bills are. Too many times people don't bother to talk about their legal costs, and that's wonderful that you're talking to them.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments? Okay. Moving on to old business. Does anyone have any old business that they would like to bring up? I will make a note in old business. As was noted in public comment, we discussed last month about a potential trip to Europe for port visitation and meeting with Siemens and some of the turbine manufacturing, as well as the feeder barge operator that will be running out of State Pier. Those conversations continue, and the project or the visit progresses towards reality, and I would say that those cost estimates remain accurate, if not at the high end of what I would anticipate. Any questions or comments on that? Keep everyone apprised, and obviously we'll have a full report out after the visit.
When are you going to make that trip, David?
Yeah, it would be late September, most likely. And it's it would be CPA Gateway. Oh yeah, sorry, Parker, I forgot you weren't there last month. It would be CPA Gateway, Eversource, Orsted, and state representation, DECD and or Advanced CT. And the main points are visitation of an operating turbine staging hub, visitation of Siemens Manufacturing, where the turbines that are being manufactured, that will be the first delivered to New London. Those will be on the assembly line. Meeting with, senior Orsted operations folks, and meeting with the Norwegian company that is going to be operating the barge service for the first wind farm prior to the completion of the Charybdis installation vessel. So all, really important, relevant stuff that we all need to be in close coordination on.
Thank you. And David, when is this trip going to happen?
Likely late September, end of September.
Okay, cool.
Can so you
we'll,
just...
We'll report Dave, out.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, sorry,
can
John,
you
go
just
ahead.
Give us the, before you go and book stuff, just so we know what the specific costs will be. I know we got estimates, but when it gets closer to it, so then we could opine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And as I said, I think the estimates that I shared last time of, 4,000 to 5,000 per person are definitely remain accurate and are probably at the high end of where it'll end up. Any other old business? All right. Any new business? All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second, Parker.
Second by Parker. Great, thanks everybody, and we'll reconvene at noon. Talk to y'all then.
Yep.
Thank you. Bye.